And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rexrode. You're on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezevic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rexrode, what's going on? How are you?
Doing just great. How are you guys?
We're wonderful this morning. Michelle, how are you? How's life?
Guys, life is great. It's Friday and we have a long weekend, right? Like, what could be better? Holiday weekend, Friday. Once 10 o'clock hits, we're done.
That is true. Michelle is already ready to kick us out of the way today, Joe Rexrode. Ready to send us to the side. Enough of these two clowns this week.
Exactly. You sound a little tired, Michelle.
Yeah, I'm a little tired.
All right, so I was right.
No, listen.
Yeah, I'm a little tired.
More Sherlocking on the show. No, lots of Sherlocking this week.
Listen, it's been a long week. I was finishing my move up. My best friend was supposed to come in town, and I just hate airlines because her flight got canceled yesterday and today, and now she's not coming. So we hate this weather because it's canceling flights.
Would we like to call out the name of the specific airline so maybe that they could?
It starts with an A.
Okay. All right.
Boy, you're about to get a couple free vouchers.
Vouchers coming Michelle's way. Oh, man. We've got a lot to get to on the show today. We'll have Stephen Holder from The Athletic coming up at 7:30. All things NFL. And we'll check in on the Indianapolis Colts with Stephen as well. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. And Titans offensive tackle Nicholas Petit-Frere coming up at 8:15 as well. So lots to get to on the program here today. As always, we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Another meeting between Tennessee and Vanderbilt yesterday. We'll get to that coming up here in just a few minutes. But, Joe, congratulations. Your Golden State Warriors have punched their ticket to yet another trip to the NBA Finals. This has to be just a big day for you.
It's exciting. I know. See, I almost don't even like you talking about my Golden State Warriors fandom because people won't believe me that, like, I was a Run TMC fan. They were just my West Coast team. You know, I was a Pistons fan first, but I've always loved the Golden State Warriors, but especially in the last few years and before they started getting really good, before they won titles. And I just wanted them to have one more run. And maybe it's not just one more run, but I think I hope Steph is getting his due across the league. He's one of the best players ever, you know, and he's a game-changing player. And Draymond also, I don't think gets his due either because a lot of people just devalue defense in basketball. I, you know, talk about this all the time. It's very frustrating. He's an incredible player. Those two and Clay are Hall of Famers. And it's pretty cool to see that core have another shot at this thing after all they've been through. 900 some days for Clay, you know, without being able to play a basketball game. I mean, you think about that, and he's out there putting up 32 last night.
Well, and they are also infinitely more likable without Kevin Durant on their team, and that's really nothing against Kevin Durant the person, although I don't really like the person either. But so I guess it is against Kevin Durant the person, but hey, I find them more enjoyable without him. That's just me.
Well, it's more enjoyable to cheer for them because, you know, that was like some people wanted to act like, oh, the super team. Like, yeah, there's never been a super team before. There's never been, like, great players who have tried to get together before through free agency or, I mean, yeah.
Anyway,
like LeBron. Like LeBron's talking about that. Yeah, exactly. Well, LeBron's one of the ones complaining. I'm like, dude, we just saw what you guys did in Miami. What, are you serious, LeBron? But yeah, so I like Durant. It's just like these moments where, like, he's at an award ceremony and, you know, they make a joke and you can't just laugh about it. Or
he's very sensitive.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Yeah, he's fine, but he's just a little bit too sensitive. And also, he's just a little bit too sitting at home watching the Golden State Warriors win a title without him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's having a lot of fun with that right now. We'll see what happens on that front. There's talk that maybe him or Kyrie may not be back with Brooklyn next year. We'll see what happens on that front. It's amazing to me, and I knew this, but I guess I just forget it and then am reminded of it. Luka Doncic is 23 years old. Like, it feels like he's been around forever. And honestly, like watching him, I'm like, yeah, that's like a 28-year-old man. But he's 23 years old. It's pretty incredible. The Dallas, they're going to have to build some pieces around him, because heading into this series, I didn't think they matched up with Golden State. But him being 23 years old, they're going to be in the mix for a while he's there.
Yeah, for sure. You got to put the right pieces around him. He needs, to me, he needs, I mean, I can say this a lot about a lot of people. Like, hey, you need another superstar, but he needs another, I think, primary player. You know, I think Brunson and Dinwiddie, those guys are good support players. I mean, I like Brunson a lot, but I think they need someone with size, you know, who can do some things. And, he needs to, I mean, hate to criticize him. He's an incredible player, but he needs to get in better shape and be able to guard somebody in a key moment and things like that. But, you know, like you said, he's 5 years from the start of his athletic prime. So
right,
they're going to be there. I mean, the Grizzlies, the Mavs, the Nuggets. I don't know. There's some good teams in the West that are going to be coming for things next year. This free agency period is going to be super interesting to see if the Grizzlies do anything.
Keep drinking that beer while you can, Luca. You got some time before you enter into your athletic prime. No question about that.
It's a little bit lighter.
That's right. In the Stanley Cup playoffs last night, the return of the home version of the Carolina Hurricanes, they win 3-1 against New York. So the Hurricanes up 3-2 in that series, and they were totally suffocating last night. They outshot New York 34-17, and Carolina wins 3-1. It is really amazing, and we've talked about this a little bit, but I don't recall through the first two rounds of a playoff series seeing a team quite like this, where they're so good at home and so average on the road. But that's basically been the story for Carolina thus far. They're undefeated at home. They played incredibly well at home. They were just stifling yesterday, and on the road, they're very average to this point. So Carolina up 3-1. Good news for them is Game 7 is back in Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, if they don't get it done, they'll get to come back home, and it's I really thought the Rangers might get this done, but Carolina looked like the better team last night, you know. At some point, if they're going to really do something here, they're going to have to do something away from home. But for now, it's been fine. It's been enough for them.
Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers get it done last night. They win 5-4 in overtime. McDavid with the winning goal in overtime. And they win the Battle of Alberta. Edmonton going to the Western Conference Finals. So the first time in McDavid and Draisaitl's careers that they've made it past the second round of the playoffs, they are heading to the Western Conference Final. And they win that series in 5 games. I would imagine the reaction in Calgary based on the team that they put together and then some of the draft capital that they used at the deadline, not the least of which was for Cal Yarncroke, which was 3 draft picks. And now you lose in the second round. You win 1 game against Edmonton. Probably not a great day in Calgary today, but Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl were just sensational in this series. And that was enough. Edmonton wins 5-4 last night, and they have punched their ticket to the Western Conference Final.
It's fun. I think it's fun. I think it's good for the league. Talk about the league sometimes, and the superstar, the need for more stars and things like that. Now, the need for more personality is a different issue, but I don't know how people couldn't be enthralled watching Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl play. And I think it's great for the league that Edmonton gets to this point. I think it's going to be fun. I don't know. Well, I don't know who they're playing, but probably going to be Colorado. I don't know what they can do in that series if Colorado's, playing its best, but I want to see, and I think it's a big deal for the NHL to get this team where they are, get this superstar these superstars where they are. I just retweeted Jamie Hurst 26 points apiece. For those two guys so far, no one else with more than 15 in the league.
Yeah,
in the playoffs,
insane what they've done. And last night, basically in the second period, they were trading chances and goaltenders were trading not being able to make saves. It was pretty incredible And I know that McDavid and Draisaitl have a lot to do with this, but it was pretty incredible how Jacob Markstrom of the Flames just totally fell apart in this series. I mean, totally fell apart. You could make an argument that, you know, that he's a Vezina Trophy caliber guy, and he just totally was all over himself in this series. Not good from Jacob Markstrom in net.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to think a lot of it is just like, what are you supposed to do with those guys? And there's some specific examples where it's like, what's he supposed to do? But he didn't play up to par, and you wouldn't have expected in that series for Edmonton to have the better goaltending, you know, which, I mean, with some glaring exceptions.
With some real doozies in there, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean – Yeah. It's amazing. Like, we had Eric Engels on. I feel like the consensus, strong consensus around the league, was that Calgary was going to handle this series.
Yeah.
So you got to look there for sure.
Yep. No question about it. So we'll see if Colorado punches their ticket in game six and they meet up against Edmonton in the conference final, or if St. Louis can keep things going and force a game seven back in Denver. We'll find that one out coming up here very soon. Coming up next, we'll get into Tennessee and Vanderbilt yesterday at the SEC tournament. Domination from the Vols. What does it mean for both programs as they move forward here into postseason play? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Burke sends it to the gap in left center field. Wow. It will go. Taco Blake Burke with a pinch hit bomb.
He's a freak, man. I mean, I know you've seen him plenty this year, but you want to look at the next great power hitter in college baseball? I think that's the one right there.
It was a statement win yesterday for the Tennessee Vols. They take down Vanderbilt 10-1 yesterday at the SEC tournament in Hoover, Alabama. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, really more of the same for Tennessee this year. They just continue to be a dominant force. You know, you had the weather delay that push this game back, you know, really 2 days when you think about it. And then Tennessee comes out yesterday and just the bats come alive really from the jump yesterday, and they win 10-1 against Vanderbilt. So what did you make of the performance by the Vols yesterday, and what do you think this means for – we'll start with Vanderbilt as they move forward. They'll now try to avoid elimination coming up later today in the SEC tournament, but – what did you make of this showing yesterday by Tennessee and Vanderbilt? 10-1, the final score.
Yeah, I mean, it's just confirmation. You know, again, you know, you started with pitching matchups, of course, but it's just confirmation. Like, there's a pretty big gap this year between these two teams. And I thought, you know, maybe we'd get a good game, but, you know, Vanderbilt on the mound, Devin Fetrell, I mean, I think he's you know, a really talented pitcher. Gets roughed up by that lineup. I mean, you know, lots of pitchers all over the country can relate, you know, to, you know, Drew Gilbert being a problem, and you know, just up and down the lineup. I mean, Cortland Lawson. I mean, they've got guys, Evan Russell, Lipscomb, Ortega. I mean, they, you know, they've got guys all up and down that lineup. They're a problem. And then Tidwell was really good. You know, the Vols were able to spread it around with that bullpen. And you know, when you can keep Enrique Bradfield off the bases, Spencer Jones, those two guys go 0-for-8 combined. That's all a recipe for a blowout. So yeah, Vanderbilt, it's interesting. Like this win was made, like, you know, Max Hurst talking this week about hosting, which I thought was kind of remote, had to get this one, right? Yep. I mean, you had to get this to really juice up the resume, and then, you know, maybe even try to get at them again, right? So at this point, I don't know. I mean, you're still trying to play. You're trying to work things out. You want to, like, play better going into the NCAA tournament, ideally, than getting crushed at home by LSU and then this game. But I don't know how much it's really worth even, you know, using up your arms. I know you have time to rest, of course, but – it'll be interesting to see you know, where it goes from here. And for Tennessee, again, there's nothing here for them other than just world domination, you know? I mean, that's that's what they want. So I expect them to go all out to win this thing. 50-7 now. 50-7.
50-7, and they hit their 139th home run of the season last night, which is tied for 11th all-time in D1 history of single-season home runs. So they are, you know, we've talked about this from top to bottom, the pitching staff and certainly the lineup as well. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, we talked about hitting the ball out of Omaha should they get back there. I mean, you know, Burke had a home run last night. It was 406 feet. Lawson had a home run that went 433 feet with 103-mile-an-hour exit velocity. Like, yeah, those balls are going out of Omaha. I don't care where you're playing. As Wes Rucker put it yesterday, those balls are probably going out of Yellowstone. So they're just mashing the ball right now. And it's pretty impressive to watch what they've been able to do.
Yeah, I mean, it is possible to hit home runs in Omaha. Like, I've seen it. So, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it's and that's the thing. This is where, you know, like how much have we talked about, you know, Omaha and this team this week? I mean, that's the thing is, you know, that's where it is going to be interesting once you get going next weekend. The pressure is massive, but you know, look, things happen. Crazier things have happened in sports, of course, but yeah, I feel like this team is built to deal with it, and they just, you know, they love to compete, and it's truly. We talked about Frank Anderson and stuff yesterday. The pitching coach, what they've been able to do. With on paper so far overachieved relative to expectations, but also just the overall depth and talent on the team, and young talent on the team. It's pretty remarkable what Tony Vitello has done here.
Some interesting comments from Tim Corbin last night, which I mean, I agree with him. And he talked about Tennessee. They're very good in all areas. They play with a tremendous amount of confidence. They're attacking from all areas. And then Corbin said, quote, one of the better teams I've seen in the 20 years I've been around, without question. Tony's done a good job. So, I mean, it's people are taking notice of what Tennessee has been able to do out there. I still believe this. Like, I know the most recent body of work from Vanderbilt is not good. The LSU weekend wasn't good. Now, I thought they responded and, you know, played okay against Ole Miss the other day. And then you have this against Tennessee. So we'll see what they do for the rest of this tournament as they move forward here. I still believe, like, if Vanderbilt ends up as, like, a 2 seed in a regional, whoever that 1 seed is not going to be very comfortable with Vanderbilt in their regional. I can promise you that.
Oh, no. I mean, it's totally of those hosting, it's just like the, oh, please, you know, no whammies. You know, I mean, it's, you know, no one wants that at all. Not at all. And, you know, especially just a Bradfield. Again, you keep off the bases, you change that team too. You know, you keep Bradfield off the bases. This guy hasn't been caught stealing at all this year. 40 whatever for 40 whatever he is.
He's 42 of 42. Yeah.
There you go. So, you know, start with him. He's a catalyst. He's got to be the key for them. But again, I mean, they have a lot of good pitchers, good young pitchers. There's a lot of promise there. Question is, other than Carter Hutton, who has really become the ace, but the question is, how many guys do they have who are going to be able to step up in these big moments? And that I just don't know.
Did you say Carter Hutton?
Oh my God, did I say Carter Hutton?
I think so.
hey, again, you know what? That's why the 6 hour anything goes. You know,
that's right.
Like,
hey, Carter Hutton, though, what a great backup goalie he was for the Predators. Really good guy too.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, when I moved to town, there was a big piece in the Tennessee by my new coworker Adam Vingan. It was like, should the Preds consider? Or I think it was when I was interviewing, like in February that year or something like that. It was like Carter Hutton. I think Pekka was like struggling. Anyway, I met Carter, and yes, it ended up being not a good idea to start Carter Hutton, but no. Carter Holton is who I meant. Yes, thank you.
Good, our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Michael on the text line says, I would feel better if Mike Honcho got his groove back. This is coming from Michael on the tech side. Joe, I guess my response to that is they can't all be hot at the same time all the time would be my response to that, I guess.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, when you just beat Vanderbilt 10-1 to go 4-0 against Vanderbilt to improve to 50-7, like, I actually got to tip my cap to somebody finding something to be worried about. But hey, yeah, I'm sure at some point he'll be in a big spot and they'll need, you know.
Well, all this is continuing to do is just if the time comes where they get beat, I mean, it's just going to be crushing for this fan base. I mean, it's literally, I think with the Tennessee fan base, it's turned into championship or bust, which again, it's a great spot to be in. You know, it's still really hard to win a national championship in college baseball. So I know how good they've been, and we're talking about them in the conversation for maybe one of the best teams to ever play the game. But, you know, they're still going to have – there will be some adversity that they've got to battle through as they come up here. I don't think it's just going to be some smooth ride to the national title for Tennessee. So all this is doing is continuing to build expectation of championship or bust in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, you know – Not at all rooting for this, okay? So let me make that clear. But if they were to lose, I will be scouring Twitter for the Fire Vitello tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I will screenshot it, and I will see if there's a Twitter museum, if it can be put in there.
That coach didn't know how to handle expectations. Yeah. What are we doing?
love you, Vol Twitter. No, it's you know, like you said, hey, I mean, it's, I feel like even since I asked the question on the show, I still kind of was like, okay, you know, there's a lot of excitement. Okay. But it's, you know, there's still limitations. Man, tell you what, I feel like, you know, even just in Omaha, it might be crazy amount of orange there if they get there.
Yeah, I think that very well could be the case. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, how would we grade the offseason for the Tennessee Titans? There have been differing opinions on that. We'll get to some of that coming up next. Take your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay every single week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. The Warriors punching their tickets in the NBA Finals last night. Game 6 coming up between Boston and Miami. This has been a very weird series so far, but you know what? I like Jason Tatum over on points. I like Jimmy Butler over on points as well. I think they both respond with a better performance coming up in Game 6. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet. No sweat. Either way, you get up to $20 in free bets if your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win. FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. A max free bet of $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5-106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. So I was listening to Stillman and Company yesterday with Caroline Fenton and Chase McCabe, and TD was in there for the TD Power Hour. By the way, we'll have TD coming up on our show a little bit later today at 8 o'clock, so looking forward to that. And they were talking about the grades for the Titans offseason. Now that the offseason is, it's not done, but it's largely done. I'd say most major moves are done at this point for the Titans. What grade would you give the Titans for the offseason that they put together? And TD's grade was a C. He was right down the middle in terms of an average offseason. And he pointed out, you lost A.J. Brown. You lost Roger Saffold. There are still heavy question marks about how you replace those two guys. You did bring back Harold Landry and bring him back into the fold, so that's something that you needed to do there. And you did trade for Robert Wood, so a mixed bag a little bit for the Titans offseason. TD's grade was a C, and Bill Barnwell has put together kind of a summation of every team in the league's offseason, ranking the best and worst NFL offseasons of 2022, and he's got the Titans at number 20 on this list on ESPN.com. So kind of goes through all the lists here, or the different things that happened, and the Titans land at number 20 on Bill Barnwell's list. Now, one thing about his list that is kind of strange to me, the Las Vegas Raiders are at 28, and they got Devontae Adams. So I'm like, okay. Whatever floats your boat, Barnwell, but the Titans are at number 20 on this list. Joe Rexroad, I ask you, how do you view this Titans offseason? And if you had to attach a letter grade to it, like Teron Davenport did yesterday, what would that letter grade be?
Is F minus a possibility?
I suppose that it is.
Yeah. I feel the same about the A.J. Brown move. I wouldn't go higher than a C. You know, I might go C minus. And it's hard as far as, you know, like the ranking. I need to look more closely there. At some point, there will be a time, probably more like as I look at fantasy football, to really dig in on every team's. And I really do mean to do that soon. It's hard to put in the exact context, but it seems like they'd be in the 20s with their offseason. When you lose a player like this, though, hey, Titans put out a video yesterday, Treylon Burks. You know, making a nice play in the bubble. You know, the rain forced him inside, looked like. And
he's on the field. That was good.
He was on the field. He was proud to see him. Made a big play. But, you know, when you lose a player like A.J. Brown, it's so remote, the possibility that you're going to come close to just drafting someone to replace that player. So we'll see on that. And obviously, there's a lot. This is the time for us to grade off seasons. And I would say, I'd say C minus.
It's interesting, in the what they could have done differently category, Barnwell writes, quote, giving Brown an extension would have been nice. One alternative, even with a Brown trade, would have been to use the number 18 pick on tackle Trevor Penning, which would have at least pushed 2021 second rounder Dylan Raiden's inside to guard. As it stands, with Roger Saffold and David Quisenberry leaving this offseason, the Titans will sort between Raiden's, Jamarco Jones, Aaron Brewer, and a rookie third rounder, Nicholas Petit-Frere, who will be on our show later, to fill the two open spots in the starting lineup. So what they could have done differently to Barnwell was, even if you did trade A.J. Brown, draft Trevor Penning instead of Treylon Burks.
Imagine if that happened.
That'd go over well.
Imagine if they had traded A.J. Brown and then, and by the way, we got another offensive tackle coming in. Oh, man. I mean, I actually need that to happen in some alternative reality to see the internet literally explode. Literally, the internet explodes.
Yes.
Come on, Bill. That would not have been a good idea.
No, it would not have. AJ, we'll see you later. We got some more offensive tackles to draft, my friend.
Yep. NWI, you say you can play all the positions. Can you play all of them at once? That's the next step in your progression. Yeah. No. But
I'm glad I like Robert Woods. At 18.
Yeah. Well, I like the choice of Burks on its own. I like the choice of Burks. I like the signing of Woods. I feel like I get most of the draft, and I've warmed up to like the McCreary choice, for example. I think Petit-Frere, we're going to have on the show, is they need one of these to go better than expected, ahead of schedule, right? I mean, they really need that. Maybe he's the guy who can do that. But, you know, they didn't do obviously a ton. I mean, again, Woods very much liked the signing. I don't know how anybody couldn't like the signing, but, you know, obviously this is probably the least active, I would say, year in free agency John Robinson has had.
Yeah. I would say there's something to that. Now, the thing that has an opportunity, I'd say I'd probably closer to TD. C would be my grade, so a little bit higher than you. But the thing that I think has an opportunity to vault this, like if Austin Hooper has a big year, then you're going to look back at that move to bring in a tight end as one that can really help you. I mean, I know they were the number one seed last year, and we've talked about this a lot, but they got nothing from the tight end position. Him coming back, I just wonder how big that could be for Ryan Tannehill, because, you know, Jonnu Smith, the numbers never really blew you off the page, but it was pretty clear that Ryan Tannehill trusted Jonnu Smith and that he was very comfortable throwing him the ball across the middle. I just don't know last year that he really ever got there with any of the tight ends. I know that he's had some chemistry with Anthony Firkser in the past. It just didn't work last year. So if Hooper is a weapon for you, and he's a player that can come in and develop some rapport and some trust and some chemistry with Tannehill pretty early, then that's got a chance to be a pretty darn good deal for the Titans this offseason. And a deal that with Hooper's age, maybe is a deal where not only have you found your tight end for this year, but maybe you found your tight end for the next few years.
No, for sure. No, that's fair. And look, I mean, I liked it at the time. I like it better after watching him on the field. You know, I mean, those two moves could both be, you know, really good for the offense. Very, very much needed for sure. And you know, with Hooper, it's when he signed, what is it? Was his press conference? He was asked like why Titans, and he was like, "Well, an offer was nice or something." Yes. Like that. I was like, "Oh, wait, what's going on with this guy?" You know, but hey, he was just being honest, right? He was being honest, and it just sometimes you get the situation where you have a really good young player. Whatever, you know, whatever happened in Atlanta, like you would have expected the way he played in Atlanta for Austin Hooper to, you know, to get a second deal there, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but then, you know, it just doesn't work out. You have the, you know, you have a new home. It just doesn't work out for you. Sometimes a player like that still, as you said, young, talented, has kind of seen, you know, the other side of things. Sometimes a player like that can really, really turn it on at the next stop. And I do think that this is the kind of place with a strong locker room, with a good culture.
Oh yeah,
that a guy like that can come in and you can see, you know, you can see some good results and maybe something more like, 75 for 787 and 6 touchdowns his last year in Atlanta.
Well, that's the reason why I think that the Titans off season can be bolstered with Hooper coming in. And obviously, we'll see how the draft picks work out, most notably Treylon Burks. A reason why I think it could look even worse is what about this offensive line? Like, if this offensive line comes out this year and they can't block anybody and Roger Saffold's gone, you didn't draft an interior offensive lineman this year to replace him. Like, if it comes out and Dylan Raiden isn't ready to go and your line is just a mess all year long, like, it's difficult to see where the offense is going to be able to get off the ground with the offensive line play being as bad as it was. I mean, look, the offensive line last year, you brought it up. What did Ben Baldwin have him? 28th in the league as a whole. It's not very good. And it looks like on paper at this point, they've gotten worse. Now we'll see how that translates to the field, but the Austin Hooper scenario working out for the Titans is where I could see like a big jump in how I view their offseason. The offensive line not working out is where I could see it really going the other way as to how we view this offseason down the road.
Well, and look, there's too much on them already, but we've already talked about number 16. By the way, Titans fans, if you didn't know, Treylon Burks is number 16.
He is.
I mean, you know, if you have a first round pick, this roster shaking move, and he has a great year as a rookie, or you go to the other end of the spectrum, you don't get much from him. I mean, how much of a letter grade change is that alone? Because it's also, there's like a cumulative grade here on early picks, and it's not trending well, and that's got to change. I mean, if he changes that and he comes in and is a really nice, you know, compliment to Woods, Hooper, wide receiver one, NWI.
That's right.
Et cetera, Derrick Henry. Then I would change my letter grade. I might go up a full letter grade.
Hey,
it might even go down if he doesn't play at all. So F- is actually on the table.
Yes. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How do you view the Titans offseason thus far? 615-737-1025. We'll get more into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Your Nashville best deal of the week is Nashville B-Cycle. Nashville B-Cycle has been Music City's station-based bike share system since 2013. Get half off a monthly pass to Nashville B-Cycle, where you can enjoy unlimited 60-minute rides for 30 days now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025-1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. Will from Brewston, Tennessee says, in a word, I think this offseason is exciting. Y'all will have plenty to talk about up until the opener. This is coming from Will on the text line. It certainly, Joe Rexroad, has not been a dull offseason for the Titans. I think exciting is an appropriate word.
So, Will, are you talking about like just like the content? The content's been very good. It's been an incredible content offseason. I'd agree with that. Will we have enough to talk about until camp?
Yeah, I guess.
I think we need more stuff to happen.
I mean, we always need more stuff to happen.
Yes. Yeah.
We've always got
yes.
WWE, guys.
Well, that's July 18th.
What's July 18th?
That's the day that we designated 3 months ago to talk about WWE.
Oh, that's right. The WWE.
Really stuck out in Rex Rhodes' mind.
Glorious Domination WWE
yeah.
show.
Yeah, whole day full of Glorious Domination.
Hopefully a lot of like different Mount Rushmores.
Oh yeah.
I saw, by the way, real quick, I saw that Kendrick Perkins said that his NBA Mount Rushmore, if Steph wins it all, Steph's on it and Magic Johnson's off it. So just
interesting.
Just so you know. Yeah. There you go. The Kendrick Perkins NBA Mount Rushmore.
Moses Moody. You're not gonna be on there.
He's his own statue of greatness.
That's right.
Kendrick Perkins.
So, Joe Rexroad, how closely are you and how closely do you think Titans fans are going to be following along with A.J. Brown this year and what he does in Philadelphia? Obviously, the Titans are going to play against him at one point this year. So, you'll see A.J. Brown, assuming that he's healthy, up close and personal with the Philadelphia Eagles later this season. But how closely are you going to be monitoring that? And what does A.J. Brown have to do numbers-wise in your mind? If you're a Titans fan, to make you look back and shake your head and just think to yourself, oh my gosh, how in the world did we let that guy get away?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I hate the move. I hate it because I think the next few years, A.J. Brown's going to be one of the top 5 to 7 receivers in the league. I could be totally wrong. That's what I think. I'd also say, like, you know, how much time do you want to spend on this if you're a Titans? You know what's going to happen. I mean, the first touchdown catch he has this year, like half of Titans Twitter is going to be recycled. Like, oh, thanks a lot, J-Rob.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, like it's like, you know, it's going to happen. And I don't know what the, I mean, here's the thing. Let's say he has a huge year. He's healthy. He plays the whole year. He has like 1,400 yards or something, which I agree with you. I think that with Jalen Hurts as your quarterback, there are some limitations there. You know, that's limiting to some extent. I'd love for Jalen Hurts to prove me wrong. I don't think he's great. I think he's okay. But we'll see. But if A.J. Brown has some massive season and the Titans have a great season and Burks is a good realistic rookie season, then, you know, are you going to obsess about that? It's if the Titans have a rough season and or Burks really struggles, then, and you throw that in tandem with AJ, you know, staying healthy and lighting it up. Yeah. Well, we certainly won't have a shortage of complaints to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. That I will guarantee you.
That I think is a pretty safe bet. William from Madison on the text line says, with Obi-Wan Kenobi releasing today, can you say a healthy Robert Woods is the Titans' only hope? By the way, so far, Obi-Wan Kenobi's pretty good. It's coming from William from Madison on the text line. First off, I'm looking forward to watching that later. Secondly, well done on the only hope for Robert Woods stuff.
I'm picking up.
You're winning the text line so far today.
Yep, I'm picking up what you're putting down there, William. Also, Stranger Things. Is it weird that it's Memorial Day weekend and these things are happening? Is it? Wouldn't there be other weekends that would be better for these things? I mean, I must not understand.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't know how these people strategize these things.
Yeah, but to get to the football part of that, William. Yeah, I mean. Robert Woods is a huge, huge deal for the Titans. I am interested to see Robert Woods as the one, which is basically what he'll be. But you can't be anything but impressed with the guy as a player, as a personality so far and things like that. I mean, you can see why they love him and why the Rams wanted to do right by him. Essentially,
you could tell Tannehill loves him.
Yeah, so, but again, it's just also like kind of keep those expectations a little bit in check. Coming off an ACL and a very good receiver, no one's going to confuse Robert Woods with one of the elite talents in the league at the position or anything like that. Just solid all around, really good player. He's gonna be good. I have no doubt about that. But it's going to take a real collective effort, a word that we use a lot more now in sports, but it's going to take it really. I don't think anyone, there's no one who's going to take AJ Brown's place next year. I'm confident in that. It's going to have to be a real group effort, and the tight end position is going to have to contribute a lot more to it, as we've discussed.
I do feel good. This is a very low bar. I understand that, but I feel like the hype last year for Julio Jones was just off the charts, and I get it. He's Julio Jones. He's a potential Hall of Fame wide receiver. That's going to be, as soon as he retires, 5 years later, he's going in to the Hall of Fame. He's one of the greatest receivers of all time. I feel like, early call your shot Friday, Robert Woods is going to at least double Julio Jones' production. Double. I'm comfortable saying that for the Titans this year, at least.
Yeah. Well, the Titans need that at least. They need that and then some, But, availability. Availability is a big deal. So, and you're right. I mean, I think back to the spring, what would it have been? He came out to something. So I guess it would have been, it would have been their mini camp, right? Would have been their mini camp in early June, right after they traded for him. Yeah. And I was just talking about this with Kayla Anderson, a few days ago, as we were sitting there talking about the receivers. She's like, remember, we were sitting there and it was like, whoa, this dude is different. The length, the hands, who the heck did he torch? He torched somebody. One of their backup cornerbacks just twisted him, turned him into a pretzel. And I was like, oh my gosh, I mean, it was like being an and-one basketball term. Like, oh,
here comes 1,500 yards.
Yeah. And, and that's the thing. That is who he is. But we never really got to see it. But the anticipation, hype level, and all that stuff. And you can look back now in retrospect, it's very easy to say, that was a terrible move. It was all overblown. He was done. But you don't know someone's done until they show it to you. And unfortunately for the Titans, yet another receiver showed it to them after he put on a Titans uniform. But there won't be. I mean, there will be nothing near the hype. I mean, you think about what it looked like with AJ and Julio and what that might have meant. And this year, it's like, I think Robert Woods is going to be ready for the opener, and I think Treylon Burks will play in the opener. A little bit of a difference.
I got a texture that says he will triple Julio Jones' performance. Maybe. I mean, that would require about 93 catches. That's a lot of catches in this offense, but maybe.
So you're talking just catches. Yeah, you're talking just catches.
I mean, I guess you can throw yards in there, too. So, yards-wise, he very well may triple Julio Jones.
He can triple the yards for sure. Titans need him to triple the yards.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Mark on the text line says, early call your shot Friday. Treylon Burks has more yards and touchdowns than A.J. Brown this year. A.J. only plays in 10 games and misses the Titans game. This is coming from Mark from Ashland City. So, Mark already throwing it out there that Treylon Burks has a bigger year than A.J. Brown.
Have you not? I'm trying to think. Maybe it's not Mark. Like, I've been seeing that particular sentiment a lot. I guess it wasn't really. I'm looking through your history, Mark. Looking through your texting history. Okay, so you're fine doing that. Like I was going to say, like, dude, like we've heard, you've already said this before, you know, but no, it wasn't you. So, but it's a popular sentiment for sure. Yeah, could happen for, it absolutely could happen. If, you know, the AJ 10 games, missed the 10, you know, that is, I mean, that certainly could happen, right? Now, Burks producing enough even to outperform AJ in 10 games would actually be very good for the Titans.
Yep. I would say that it would. Will from Nashville on the text line says, will Kyle Phillips make the team and will he play much? Well, I guess is if he makes the team, like I don't really see us, and tell me if you disagree, Joe, but I don't know that I see a scenario where they're keeping both Kyle Phillips and Mason Kinsey on the active roster. Like, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. So, if Kyle Phillips makes the team, he's probably a dedicated slot guy. And, yeah, he probably plays a significant amount.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Mason Kinsey, he had a really good preseason game against Atlanta. And, you know, he's a good for him to be in the league. But, no, I expect Kyle Phillips to be ahead of him. And make the team. Will he play much? I think he'll play a fair amount if things, I mean, we'll see. Like, there's a lot to find out about him and everything too, but early returns are pretty positive with him, and I think he fits, you know, he fills a role. It makes sense to have someone in that role. I could also still see, you know, the Titans are an 11, you know, or three wide. I mean, I could see a lot of three wide with Westbrook, Akina, Burks, and Woods together. You know, I mean, I think that's still probably those would be ideally, you know, and I think things are looking good on the Woods front. NWI is going to be out there a lot, make no mistake. And then if Burks can do it, then I think ideally for the Titans, those three receivers get by far the most snaps next season. But I think Kyle Phillips will have a role, and it's going to be interesting to see. You know, right now this week he's going against the vets. Next week, get one more chance to see him in that setting, and then of course on into training camp. But yeah, so far I like him. I think he brings something that they can take advantage of.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. By the way, Will from Brewston on the text line, who talked about the offseason being exciting, says, "Don't worry if it gets too boring. Stillman will just make up something like Peyton Manning is secretly a Florida fan." This is coming from Will on the text line. So maybe so.
You know, see, like Jared, you know, there's plenty of valid criticisms of Jared, okay? But, like, does he make stuff up?
Well, you did say the salary cap's not real.
Touche.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More of those coming up next. Also, where do we think the Titans fit into the rest of the AFC picture? All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.